Hi, dear movie breakers. Here I am, still at Doc Leipzig. I'm waiting for my second interview with director Leanne Schmidt. She's here with me now. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, how are you?
We watched your new film, Evidence. Mm-hmm. May I say an essayistic documentary? Because it's between the essayistic and the documentarian, or do you not like to categorize it at all?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think of categorizing as I'm making them, but I think that's fair to say it's essay film, a portrait film, a document.
It's both personal and historic in mm-hmm. that it deals with a certain U.S. foundation, the Olin Foundation, but you have a very personal connection to this as your father used to work for them.
Yeah, yes.
Or this is at least what the press material everywhere says, that he worked. Is that correct?
It's correct. It's just not how I think of the film, but it is true that I don't think of it as a film about this foundation. I think of the film using this foundation to talk about something that's a little bit more rampant. I mean, this was one foundation among dozens, if not hundreds, in a movement. So my way into that, of course, is my father and his kind of corporate life, but it's just a doorway, I think.
So the broader subject is how the evangelical right in the U.S. Has kind of an alliance with the Republicans, and also about the myth of the family, how everything is dictated by this conservative ideal of what a family should be like.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's also the way the myth of the family supports control in around market economy, around capitalism. You know, and that's a form for property, and it's a form for wealth, and it's a form to kind of support a certain kind of society idea.
And also how family serves on so many levels as an excuse for repression. Like every time there's a call for stricter laws, it's like, oh, we have to protect children and the family, mm-hmm. and about everything is justified. There's even this huge pressure on everybody, I think almost everywhere on the globe, like universally, to build a family. So if you don't have kids, if you don't have the conventional family model, you failed.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of mythology around a certain kind of family and having family. And there's, I think, right now, a lot of focus on reproduction or like having children and the role of children, when actually, like, even people that have children have families. It's just a lot of their lives are lived before that and after that. And there are many people that don't, you know, for whatever reason. So I think it's kind of a mythology that keeps us from seeing life a little bit more fully and society a little bit more fully. And it's very intentional that way.
How do you actually start out if you want to do a documentary? Do you just start filming? Do you make a very specific plan?
I guess I just start filming. I mean, I do research and thought. I'm sort of filming often just as a habit, you know? So some of the domestic imagery and the personal imagery is just me using a camera over the years, and it's something I do. But while I was doing it, I knew I was building kind of an archive of domestic images and that I was interested in them. So I was going to use them at some point. Then you're living a life and you're seeing things, you're trying to understand them. So, you know, you're contemplating your own family, your parents, the generation. So these ideas kind of come together, and then I research and I think of things I more intentionally have to film to fill out the other more historical or more essayistic parts. And then I edit for a long time trying to bring it all together.
Would you say that you developed within your career from a more traditional documentary point to a more essayistic point?
No, I started.
You started.
Absolutely. I mean, if anything, the work I do now is more conventional probably than the work I did. You know, I said in one of the Q&As that maybe it was in the second film where I realized I was even a documentary maker, that I, and because the world, so that's how the world works. You become defined into these categories, especially in the US. But no, I just started making images I started as a photographer. I started as a performance maker. I started writing texts for performance. Those texts are very similar to the way text works in the film. So it just, over 30 years now, evolved of interest and form. So I didn't enter it as kind of an industry or as a plan. I sort of entered it as studio practice and personal practice. And, you know, the works are very small in some way. They're filmed and they're produced and made by me, essentially. I do all the filming, I do all the editing. So it has a bit of a studio artist or writer, like I'm often quite alone in making the work, and it can develop over years. And then when I bring it to the world, I feel like it gets defined somewhat. And this film, and it's not a conventional film, but it's the most grounded in the moment, I guess, in some ways. So no, it wasn't kind of an evolution to something. I've made this work all along. It's sort of my body of work has evolved within itself, but always a little bit outside the traditions. You know, I studied performance, then I went to an art school, and then now I teach at an art school. So.
How long would you say does it take for you to do a film, or is it totally different from work to work?
No, it's pretty consistent. It's somewhere between 5 and 7 years for each film, for the long films. The shorter work, some of those are very fast because they're sort of experiments, and some of them will take a couple months. But no, the long films are usually about 6 to 7 years between them.
How do you see the place of documentary in a world where subjective truth matters more than, or even the idea of an objective truth starts to vanish?
I mean, and you know, I'm not actually resistant to being categorized as, it's not ever that useful for me to, you know, there's no reason for me to think along those lines until it's, you know, where am I going and where is it showing and in what context? And the work, I think, shows very differently in a documentary festival than in a more experimental festival or a more traditional, like a larger festival. Anyway, none of that matters because the question you're asking is much more interesting. I mean, that's where I do embrace the idea of a documentary and document, because I think the films become, I don't know if they become a document of truth, because I think that's a really shaky, there's something quite subjective in the films, but they do become a document of thought. And that I think is really useful for film. I think it's really useful to have, I do think there is your documenting attempts to put ideas together. And that is really useful in the world, to sort of sort through the mass of constant information and make an argument, make associations that help people.
Your film is called Evidence. So this recalls the concept of the judicial system. So we think of trials, but also what we just talked about, this idea of truth, of proving something. So what would you say is the evidence that you gather in this film? Do you see it as on a personal level, as emotional evidence, or as the facts that you gather about the conservative movement in the US?
I mean, both, I guess. I had the title from the beginning, and I knew I wanted to use, I think a lot of my work is about creating a tangible trace of political or ideological thought. So how can you make that seeable, and how can you show where it's had material impact, something you can photograph or something you can record? And it's always very partial. But in this film, I was kind of collecting these different archives. One, the impact of this money, like the books, the ideas it caused, it funded. And then this archive of personal materials, my childhood toys, my childhood drawings, my son's childhood drawings, this other archive of environmental spaces or natural spaces, both the manufacturing sites, but also kind of natural encounters I had over the years making it. And with those, they were all different archives that I wanted them to speak to each other and give them equal precedence. Like the day-to-day of our life is impacted by these judicial decisions. They're on the same plane in some way.
When did you actually start discovering that what the company that your father worked for was like? And when did you decide that you would put some of that in your film?
I know the company my father worked for my entire life, and it's a chemical company. It's a multinational company. Some of the histories, there's other histories that aren't in the film. From it's owned Winchester Rifles. It was a defense contractor. It was had strong ties into South Africa and was sanctioned at some point for its work. From my teen years, I was like, oh, this is a belief system. This is the specifics of the foundation that came later. But I knew I was probably halfway through the film and knew that I wanted to talk about this larger ideology, how conservatives use the evangelical. I mean, it's a very common story now in the world. Like, conservatives use an evangelical movement to popularize, well, fascism in many ways. I knew that was part of the film in a broader sense, and then I decided to settle it in this specific example. But, you know, this was one of dozens of foundations, and it wasn't even the largest one. You know, there's the Skype Foundation, there's the Coors Foundation, there's the Koch Family Foundations. There's many others in the same time having similar impulse. But what I was interested in this was when I realized how specifically, you know, they funded the Federalist Society and the Law and Economics Movement. Like, I was interested in the judicial impact and the way those laws, that is coming up now in terms of laws around body autonomy and family and queer rights and trans rights.
Given the current political developments, are you worried about your work in the future or about your personal freedom or if you will be able to continue your work?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess vaguely. I mean, I'm such a small filmmaker. We'll see. I mean, you worry about many things now. Like, I think everybody's worried about their potential for speech and their potential for, but it's not my highest worry among the many worries I have right now.
Now that you work so long on one film, you said it's like more than 5 years, up to 7 years. Mm-hmm. How do you know when it's finished, like when to stop? No. And how do you then start something new or do the projects develop parallel?
They sometimes develop a little parallel. I have another project that I've filmed some on that sort of mid. And that has happened a couple times. Like when I did my first film, I was also starting to work on the second film more. And like, and in terms of knowing when it's done, I don't know if it's reached the end of, you draw an end point to the argument. Practically being in the room, I teach with a woman, Betsy Bromberg, and she once said, you know, when you've gone into the editing room and you keep moving the same thing back and forth and then you move it back, you like there's a point where you just realize the material's done. But what exactly defines that's hard to say. But I do feel that like I play with the editing for years and it does reach this phase where I think it's in the right shape. And then you can move to like the finishing of the sound and the finishing of the rest. And some of it, it just feels time to let it go into the world and see how to manifest. All the films have similar ideas. So you let that expression go and move into the next.
Have you ever felt a need to do fiction films? Is that something that you never thought about?
I've done a little bit of fiction films and the new project has some fiction in it, but I wouldn't call, you know, it's got some staging. And but no, I've kind of always, even when I had a performance company in my 20s, with performers, it was much more kind of representation of text, much more gestural. I teach in a fiction program. I teach in a narrative program. And I spend a lot of time thinking about fiction and representation, but it's not the form I think. There's a lot of fiction in some way or narrative in the works. Like I tell a lot of stories. There's a lot of story construction. But working with kind of an empathy model around characters isn't something I'm that interested in.
You have been to a whole lot of festivals. I read your resume. So do you have some that you prefer or that you remember especially fondly?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's different values to different opportunities. Both some festivals, it feels like you see the work in a different way because an audience is expressing it. And some festivals are just, you meet a lot of filmmakers and it's a great experience. You know, there's like the Viennale is always known as like a very hospitable, beautifully hosted festival. But the audiences here are so deeply engaged and so patient. I mean, I've had people that have come to all four screenings, which is, you know, it's rigorous work. I've always loved going to Cinema de Real. I like the curators there a lot and the programming's really. And it's nice when you have a festival with programming that's bringing you work you wouldn't have seen otherwise, and that's unexpected. Sometimes if you go to a lot of festivals, you see some of the same work again and again. So when you have kind of interesting, like the Forum or like it's really nice, but I don't know. I don't travel to all the festivals, so I don't feel like such an expert. It's such a gift to be able to see films and to be with other filmmakers. So that side of it's always something that's really great.
And at the moment, do you have already a new project that you're thinking about or working on?
Yeah, I have this film half filmed, sort of about narrative and trauma. It uses the case of this little girl in Britain who murdered these two boys. But it's really kind of about how we talk about violence. And there were two books written about her about 12 years apart. And one kind of has her as this sort of psychopath, maybe a little bit abnormal, manly, unnatural person. And then the other book has her as like a victim and kind of cycles of abuse and trauma and these two narratives of like monster or victim or something that I'm, you know, what's in between those. And I'm interested also in like trauma and disassociation and reality and layers of reality. So that I hope to finish this year. After this project, it's hard to know exactly what I'll do next. Probably I have some inclinations for like filming to do and something I think will come out of that. And there's something around the natural like the ecological thread of this film that I think I'll pick up.
If there was one thing you could hope that the audience would take away from this film, your most recent film, Evidence, what would it be?
I don't know. I've thought about that differently in different ways with films over the years. I mean, I actually hope more that the film is offering something to the audiences, that it's useful to them in some way. There's such a solitary experience around politics right now where every day something new comes. So I hope actually the film's sort of making a space for people to sit with certain ideas. And then it helps them contemplate things in a certain way. So I don't know if I'm wanting them to come away, but I'm more being able to have an experience that's useful to them.
So actually, where can we see Evidence apart from festivals? Will it have a streaming release? Or?
Yeah, it'll stream on Dot Film soon. Actually, all the work will for a while. Starting next month or starting, oh, I guess this month now.
So we keep an eye out for it. I say thank you to Lee and Schmidt. And if you're still at Dog Leipzig, you missed Evidence, so bad for you. But we hope we see it somewhere online. Thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you so much.